It is with much anticipation and joy that I would welcome you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you to the young ladies for setting the tone for us this morning. It is a wonderful time of year, and it is always wonderful to be here in this place with you, and I trust that the Lord's Spirit will be with us as we meet today to worship. I very much look forward to the ministry that our brother Dan will bring today. I know he has prepared much for this morning, and I trust through the impress of the good Spirit that each one of you will be touched as well. I'd like to share for our call to worship this morning the lyrics to a hymn that we hear often this time of year, a Christmas song. For some reason this year, it seems this particular song, O Come, Emmanuel, has resonated more with me in my heart. And it seems that everywhere I go, I seem to hear this song this year for some reason. I heard it at a choir concert and at the dentist's office and in the car and while out shopping. And I heard it last Sunday morning during the prelude as we prepared for our worship. And the words have particularly been meaningful to me this season as I think about what these words mean, but how they are also relevant for us in the day and time and the situation in which we live. So this is actually a hymn that goes back to the 9th century, and it was used, it was taken from words that were used in monasteries back in the 8th and 9th century. In the week leading up to Christmas, each night, the monks would recite a series of what they called the O antiphones, and each night had a theme that started with the word O and a different theme. And O Come Emmanuel was that which they shared on the last night before Christmas Eve. And so in the 1850s, those words were put to music to this hymn. And as I read just a couple of the stanzas, I would ask you to think about, these words were obviously written about the coming of Jesus Christ when he was born into the world as a baby, but I would like for you to think instead about how meaningful they are to this day and time. Because just as much as ancient Israel needed to be ransomed with the arrival of the Messiah, so we today, as modern-day Israel, are captive in our own right, in our own way, in this world of sin. And we need to be saved and ransomed even just as they did. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny. From depths of hell thy people save and give them victory o'er the grave. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. O come, desire of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid thou our sad divisions cease, and be thyself our King of Peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. We'll stand now and sing together hymn number 156, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and then Brother Mike will have our prayer of invocation.
Thank you. Almighty God, our dear Heavenly Father, we raise our voice to Thee this morning in praise and adoration on this, a day, a special day, in which we remember the birth of Thy Son, a gift from Thee to all mankind. And so, Father, we do praise Thee and glorify Thee for this gift. And we pray, Father, that Your Spirit might reside in this holy tabernacle this day and this hour, and that it might rest mightily upon all those souls who have gathered here to worship Thee. We pray, Father, for Thy servant, Brother Dan, as he would bring the message this day, and that the words of truth might be spoken, and that all who would hear might know that it is Thy word that comes to them this day. And so, Father, we would humbly ask this prayer, and we would raise this petition in the most precious and holy name of our Redeemer and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We come to the portion of our worship now where we have an opportunity to return unto the Lord, but just a token of that which He has given to us. And in this time of year, as we think about the greatest gift of all, the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, and how He came into this world, I think it is incumbent upon us then to think about our response to Him and how much we have given Him. And we can always pledge anew to give Him even more. Will you bow with us in prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, we are so thankful for this opportunity to be together and for Your Spirit that blesses us even now. We pray at this time that You would accept these offerings that are collected, that they might be dedicated and consecrated for Your work and for the benefit of Your kingdom, and for the souls of men. And we pray at this time, Father, that You would bless each one as they give, and bless the, those who have the desire to give, that that desire might grow into action, and that we all might be about returning unto You that which we know is Your fair portion. And we pray that we might be generous, Father, with our time and our abilities and all that we have. And we thank You that they all come from You. And so we would ask this prayer very humbly in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
for our scripture consideration for this morning. I'd like to read to you out of the 9th chapter of Isaiah, beginning at the 6th verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there is no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it, with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Truly, I believe that little angels have sang to us this morning. And it's my pleasure to stand here before you this day. When you look at the assignments and say you see that you got Christmas or Easter or some holiday service, you wonder what you can say that hasn't been said. And so I made it a matter of prayer of what the Lord would have me bring this day. Read the scriptures that we so often read at this time of year out of Isaiah and out of Luke, and rehearse the Christmas story about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as I studied upon these scriptures and made it a matter of prayer, there was one word out of these scriptures that the Lord expanded my mind toward. And that word was peace. We think of the world today, and you know, the scriptures say they cry peace, peace, and there is no peace. And truly, that's being manifest in the world today. It's being manifest in the world. It's being manifest in our congregations, and it's being manifest in our homes and in our inner souls. In Luke, when the angels appeared to the shepherds, they were told, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people." All people. "For unto us this is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." They went to find a babe in a manger. And when they found him, suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." And listen to these words. It's just a little different than the way it's phrased in the hymn where we just sang. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, comma, peace." Goodwill to men. And I look at all the things that we're doing in the congregation for those that have need, and see the goodwill to men. I look at, you think of the Christmas season and the joy in it and bringing together, and I see the goodwill to men. And so we come at this time to talk about peace and goodwill. But where's the peace? When our families get together, will there be peace or will there be bickering over the government or some other family division? Where's the peace? Where's the good tidings of great joy that was to come with the Son of God as he come upon the earth? There's a world out there crying for peace. What is peace to you? We can look it up in a dictionary, and it gives a number of categories of peace. In a general sense, it's a state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance, from agitation, applicable to social, to individuals, or to temper of mind. So often when we think of peace, we don't think about our day-to-day. We think of peace as freedom from wars with a foreign nation, freedom from internal commotions or civil wars. But do we think of peace from quiet quarrels, suits, or disturbance that we have every day, or might have every day in some form? We think of peace as heavenly rest, happiness. We know that those that are been righteous, that when they leave from this life and pass on to the next life, that they go to paradise, that they find rest from all their troubles and things that were upon them in this life. We think about having peace then. Harmony, accord, a state of reconciliation between parties at variance. Public tranquility and quiet order of society, which is guaranteed by laws with our law keepers. To be at peace, to be reconciled, to live in harmony. Zion. And who are we to be reconciled with and to? To God. To make peace and to reconcile as parties at variance. You know, it's very easy sometimes to get upset over the littlest things. And yet, the first two commandments, love the Lord thy God with all the heart, might, mind, and strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. And upon these two laws hang all the others. And so I ask you this day, have you come here with peace in your inner soul? Or is there something that's out there that's happened that's just trying to tear you apart? I ask you, are you at peace right now? And blessed are you if you can say yes. But if we can't say yes, that we're at peace, we're at peace that if we went left today, pass on to our Heavenly Father. How do we go about finding that internal peace that we need? And if we've had, we might not have such high blood pressures at times. I know when I get something that goes wrong in my life, I know what happens to my blood pressure. It goes up. And so let's talk about how that we might find peace in our lives. Section 18 of our Doctrine and Covenants, beginning at verse 2 in. Learn of me, speaking of the Lord. Listen to my words. Walk in meekness of my spirit, and you shall have peace in me. The Prince of Peace, as Isaiah told about that he would be. I am Jesus Christ. I came by the will of the Father, and I do His will. I've been reading a biography of a man and I looked at my life and I asked myself, why do I struggle so much? When this man went through so much, and there are many of you here going through more than I am, and yet I find myself with anxieties. And the book I've been reading is J.C. Clapp, A Valiant Missionary. And if you're struggling with some things that are going on in your life, I would recommend you to get this book and read it. It's a testimony of a man that devoted his life in service to his master. And in it, it shares the things that he went through, the sufferings he went through. And how he thought there was no end, and how at times he wished that he was dead. And then the Lord was always there on the other side to help him. And he would come through that trial and thank his Lord and Savior that he got him through the trial, that he preserved his life. And his whole life was filled with those trials. And we know in Doctrine and Covenants, I think it's 59, it says, after much tribulations comes the blessings. And sometimes we're out there, Lord, where's the blessings? We've seen the tribulations. And he makes this statement as he looks back over his life. In thinking over my checkered life and calling to mind my many narrow escapes, and sometimes thinking 'twere better I had fallen many years ago. It would have saved me much distress and affliction and many tears, and perhaps saved some trouble to my friends. Then again, I would think, God doeth all things well. I am only filling my destiny according to his will. Perhaps 'tis well that I have lived and suffered and sowed, that some others may reap. In recounting my mistakes and failures, I can only draw comfort from the fact that I have eaten no idle bread, and I have done what I could. And in those things, he found peace to his soul. Again, in section 59, 5C. But learn that he that doeth the works of righteousness shall receive his reward shall receive his reward, even peace in this world and eternal life in the world to come. He that doeth the works of righteousness shall find peace in this world and the world to come. Are our works works of righteousness? I remember when I was pastor down at Adrian, Loretta's dad come in to give ministry one Sunday morning. And he spoke these words so profoundly that they have stuck forever in my mind. As he gave counsel unto us as a branch. Beyond goodness unto righteousness. And brothers and sisters, if we're content with the goodness that we are doing in our lives and in the lives of people, we're selling ourselves short. Because the Lord's wanting us to become, to go on into righteousness as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was. and righteousness, a purity of heart, and the rectitude of life, conformity to of the hearts of life to the divine law. Righteousness, as used in the Scriptures, is in its chief and used in the Scriptures, in which it is chiefly used, is nearly equivalent to holiness, comprehending holy principles and affliction of the heart, and conformity of life to divine law. It includes all we can call justice, honesty, and virtue, with holy affections. In short, it is true religion. The active and impassive obedience of Christ, by which the law of God is fulfilled. Isn't this Lord and Savior who was born, whom we celebrate at this time, the pattern in which we are to pattern our lives after? A righteous person who did no sin, that loved you and me so much that he came unto this earth, the Word made flesh, and died for you and me, that we might learn of him. I got too many scriptures. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 32, verse 17, the work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness, assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation, in a sure dwelling, in a quiet resting places. If we were beyond goodness unto righteousness, would we have Zion right now? The Scriptures tell us it could have already been. And so, brothers, sisters, as we celebrate this day, the Prince of Peace is calling us unto righteousness, that we might find peace one with another, peace in this world, and peace in our inner souls. Again, back to testimonies of Brother Clapp. His mother had become quite ill, and they called for the family to come. And of course, they were all over. One of them traveled 3,000 miles that he might make it back to be there for their mother. And in there, he talks about when they all come in to see her. In her life, they had gone out to Utah, and Brother Joseph helped his family escape from Utah and ended up in, I believe, California. (Clears throat) Anyway, it says when they come into the room, she seemed to rally for a season and talk a great deal. Several times, she bore her testimony of the latter-day work. Early one morning, she called us all to her bedside, and there in a clear but weak voice, she bore her last testimony and bid us all goodbye. She said she had endured many afflictions since she first obeyed the gospel. It had been her comfort and consolation all through her life. In other words, peace. But it never gave such absolute comfort as it did that morning. She gently folded her hands across her breast, gave one last look of love at us all, and closed her eyes as though passing into a sweet and restful sleep. A most beautiful smile came upon her face, and she died on November 13th, 1874. That's peace. When we can find peace in this life and we can pass on to the next life in peace in our souls. And that peace comes from living a righteous life. The fruits of righteousness are sown in peace of them that make peace. James, 3rd chapter of James, the 18th verse. And our brother Justin talked a few weeks ago about charity, and then the 85th section of Doctrine and Covenants, it gives us some guidelines to live by. And see that ye love one another. Cease to be covetous. Earn to part one to another as the gospel requires. Cease to be idle. Cease to be unclean. And cease to find fault one with another. Come out of a gathering where the young ladies and young gentlemen had put on a Christmas concert. And I heard two gentlemen, two elders talking, and one asked the other, Are you glad you're not pastor this year? He says, well, it's been a relief. He says, when as I went in as pastor, I had all these things in mind which would help us grow spiritually. He's pastor of a large congregation. And he says, you know, we never got to any of it. It seems like every day my phone rang and I was putting out fires. Someone did this. Someone said that. And that's not living in peace. And that's not living in righteousness. And so if we're not careful, we'll go through life trying to put out fires and to rebuild relationships. That if we live a righteous life, would probably never happen to start with. Because we'd be focused on the things that Christ desired for us to do and to be as we shared the gospel. And so it says, with the bonds of charity as a mantle, as that which covers us, the armor of God, you might say, which is bond of perfectness and peace. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. That's what he's desiring for us to do as we go from this day forth. Is it possible? It is. The Nephites at times had states of that. Melchizedek was called the King of Peace. He preached unto the people, and the people became, it says, into a righteous state. And they had peace. It's possible. Zion is possible. Peace is possible in our lives. A few weeks ago, in a prayer service at Tony presided over, he read these words from wherever he got them, but it really made me reflect on where I'm at in my life. If you are depressed, you're living in the past. And oh, how Satan likes to get us thinking back about what we did and wish we could live over and that. But the Lord is always wanting us to look forward to what we can become instead of what we may have done. If you're depressed, you're looking in the past. If you're anxious, you're living in the future. I'm always, you know, it says to take one day at a time and live it. I'm always trying to think ahead. Well, how do I get to the next step in my life, or what's going to happen? And the other one was, if you're at peace, you're living in the present. And I truthfully say, when I come amongst you, I feel I'm living in the present, and I find peace in you and in my Lord Jesus Christ. And so this righteousness that we're supposed to seek and obtain, we read Mosiah in the 8th chapter, the 47th verse. I say unto you that are of his seed, and these are they who have published peace, who have brought good tidings of good, who have published salvation and said unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And how beautiful upon the mountain were their feet. And again, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of those who still publish peace. And again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who shall hereafter publish peace. Yea, from this time, henceforth, and forever. And behold, I say unto you, this is not all. For oh, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that is the founder of peace, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we remember this time of year. Yea, even the Lord who has redeemed his people, yea, him who has granted salvation unto his people. And so this day, we remember the Lord and what he's done for us, what he's doing for us, and what he will do for us in the future. I want to leave you with just a couple scriptures. 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, verse 16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. And from section 81, peace be with you. My blessings continue with you. For even yet the kingdom is yours and shall be forever if you fall not from your steadfastness. Even so, amen. Is your Lord Jesus Christ to give you peace. May he bless you this Christmas season as you share it with your families and your loved ones and those you come in contact with, is my prayer. Amen.
Would ask that we take a moment now to contemplate the challenge that's been given to us today, that in this season as we celebrate the birth of the Prince of Peace, that we seek out his peace through that righteousness that we are called unto. We're going to sing, remain seated and sing together now hymn number 164 as we take a moment to think about the challenge that's been given to us. And then our brother Ed will bring a pastoral blessing to our congregation.
Would you bow with me? Our Father and our God, we thank you, O God, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord, you know the despair of man before his coming, and the darkness that overshadowed all the work that went forth. And yet in your mercy and your grace and your peace and your love, you found it that you might offer up your Son, that he might give us light in the world that has fallen in the darkness. That your that young little child that would come into this earth might provide us a way in which to come back into thy presence. And we give you thanks at this time of year that we set apart to remember the birth of our Redeemer, your Son here on earth. And what joy it is that we have to know of the promises of his life and the promises that are true to us as we seek out his way and we learn to follow of his goodness and his mercy and that righteousness in which pathway he trod. And so now, God, as I stand before my brothers and sisters in this, your congregation, I'm mindful of the many hurts and the pains and the loss of loved ones that have gone on this year and are going on even now, and the void that will be present in the homes and the dinner tables as families join to celebrate the birth of your Son. I pray, O God, that that good spirit, even the Holy Ghost, might reside in that void and that your people might find that great comforter, and that we might remember the love you have for each one of us, the love of eternal life with you. And so I offer up this, your congregation, O God, that you would bless them, that they would remember how much you love them, for you gave your only begotten Son for their life, and that we might come together and not allow the world to steal the reason for this season, but we would truly remember the gift of life eternal through that Son who was laid down as a sacrifice willingly that he might bear our sin if we would but turn to him, turn to you and repent of those things that prevent us from communing with you in a deeper way. And so I ask a blessing now upon this, your body of people, that you would hold them up in this time of season, and that we would find joy and peace and good tidings as we reflect upon all that you continually do to us day by day and moment by moment. Help us to see the light of your Son. Help us to walk in that light, that we would stay on that pathway that leads back to you, to know the promises are true and your love is never ending. I pray this blessing for the sake of thy kingdom, that your people might be actively engaged in a good cause for the coming forth of that return of your Son here on earth, that his kingdom may reign and that we might find our place therein. But above all things, O God, forgive us of our sin, we would pray. In the blessed name of thy Son and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, we have come here this day to worship thee and to remember that great miracle, that miracle of the birth of thy Son. And oh, what a scene that must have been in that lowly stable. And oh, what joy and peace must have been there, that even the animals recognized that that was the Christ child. And so, Father, we thank you for that miracle and what it means in our lives. And we have been challenged here this day to go from goodness to righteousness and to experience peace in our lives. And Father, we know there are many storms that come upon us. And in those storms of life, may we be still and trust in thee, that we might more fully experience that peace that you have and want to give to each one. And so, Father, we thank you for our worship experience this day. And as we pronounce this benediction upon this service, we do so in the name of our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus Christ, that Prince of Peace. Amen.